And our first teaching is called The Power of Praying in Tongues. And the key scripture is Ephesians 6:18, which says, keep on praying in the Spirit. Okay? The key to experiencing the power of praying is in tongues is when you and I learn to pray continually in tongues. Not for 5 minutes, not for 10 minutes, not even for 1 hour or 2 hours. If we can pray the way we breathe, because prayer is the breath of the soul. So if praying in tongues can become like breathing, then you and I will continually walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, in today's teaching, we're going to basically cover these three aspects. We will be touching upon what is the gift of tongues so that we have the right understanding about the gift of tongues and about who spoke about this gift from the scriptures. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, what do we know about the gift of tongues? We're going to discover this. And when must we pray in tongues? I've already given you a clue. The key to walking in power is when we pray continually in tongues. So we are supposed to get to a place where we are praying in tongues all the time. It's possible. Remember, it is possible. So in introduction, dear brothers and sisters, the Christian life, the life that you and I have been baptized into, the life of Christ himself, okay? This life is supposed to be lived as it is written by the prophet Zechariah in chapter 4, verse 6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Okay, so Zechariah was talking about a time in the future when everyone will be living not by their own might, their own strength, their own abilities, their own qualifications, or their own, whatever, their achievements. Not these. These are not going to be the way you and I are supposed to live, but we are supposed to live by the Spirit. This is God's original intent for us, and this is what the Lord of hosts desires for us. That's our Heavenly Father. This is the will of God for us, that we don't struggle and, you know, have a difficult life. God's will for us is that we are peaceful, we are filled with joy, the presence of God, the power of God, the glory of God is continually manifested in us and through us, where we lack nothing, where we lack nothing, because Jesus said, I came that you may have life in all its abundance. We need to look at our lives and see, are we living that life in all its fullness, in all its abundance? That is the life of the Spirit. That is the life lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the key to walking in that power, in that glory, is praying continually in tongues. Okay? So, maybe many of us are not walking in that kind of fullness of life. But are you in this place? Are you struggling in your prayer life? About 6 years ago, brothers and sisters, I was in a huge, huge crisis in my faith. And I was struggling in my prayer life. My prayer life was practically non-existent. And yet I was praying all the time, but I could not connect with God. I mean, it's possible. It's possible. We are like constantly, desperately frustrated and trying to speak to God and trying to, you know, get God to help us. And yet, if you look at our prayer life, you would say, there was no connection at all. There was absolutely no connection. Mind you, I've been serving the Lord as a full-time missionary from the time I was 25 years old. And now I'm almost 50. And yet, this was my relationship with God because of a huge faith crisis that I went through. Are you failing to get the Word of God to work for you? Believe me, God's Word is filled with promises. More than 5,000 promises are recorded in the Scriptures. Most of them have already been fulfilled in Christ Jesus and with the coming of the Holy Spirit. But are you failing to get that word, those promises to work in your life? I don't know about you. That was my state. Are you seeing your prayers go unanswered? Maybe in this time, during this pandemic, we've been praying our heads off. And so often we've seen prayers go unanswered. So we keep looking for the right prayer, the perfect method. You're in the right place, brothers and sisters, because you are going to come across today in this webinar. We're going to be teaching you the prayer that is always answered. And you can be sure that when you pray in tongues, you will see your prayer bearing fruit. Are you overwhelmed by your problems? Is this pandemic truly driving you nuts the way the whole world has been driven nuts and is going crazy? But is that affecting you too? You and I cannot be like the people in the world. They don't know Jesus. We know him. We have been baptized into him. Can we behave just like them? Are the problems that are overwhelming the world also overwhelming you and me today? Are you restless? Are you tired? Are you confused? Are you defeated? Are you just ready to give up? If that's you, you are in the right place. I praise God that he has drawn you to this webinar. Maybe many of you are coming for the first time. Some of you have come before. I'm sure the Lord has something very, very special for you. And this is our prayer, brothers and sisters, that every one of you taps into the life of the Spirit, because without the Spirit, there is no life. There is absolutely no life. Okay? So, this is what I went through. When my son, Michael, who's 19 years old now, when he was born, he suffered very severe right hemisphere brain damage. It was due to doctor's negligence. It was due to so many things that just seemed to go wrong at the time of his birth. And because half of his brain was damaged and not functioning properly, he suffered tremendously. And with him, so did we. He used to have horrible seizures, more than 150 epileptic fits every day. Very jerky movements, very strange, and very, very disturbing. Because before the seizure would actually come out, it would trouble him so much. You know, there was such agony that he was going through. He would scream and he would cry. He would cry so much. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, you know, even when he wasn't crying, we could hear him crying. You know, because that sound had become so much a part of us. The sound of him literally screaming because of the agony of those seizures that he constantly suffered from. Apart from this, all his milestones were severely delayed. He could not, obviously his neck control came late, his sitting up was late, his walking was late, his standing was late, he couldn't feed properly, he suffered from a very, very severe reflux issue, because of which once he started off on semi-solids and, you know, external feeds, he would first vomit everything that he had consumed, And only then, you know, we would just pray and pray that, you know, when I would feed him the second time, he would actually retain. And every time he retained and he would burp and not bring up, we would say, Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And even till today, when he burps, I actually say, Thank you, Lord. Because it had become so much a part of us. If we would see him actually consume and retain rather than throw up. And then because of the seizures, all his milestones were delayed. He needed stimulation as a baby. He needed occupational therapy as he grew up, physiotherapy continuously every day to help him to use his left side. Because of the right hemisphere damage, his left side was completely weak. Because of this, he was everything was a problem for him. He would struggle with his physiotherapy, which was so painful because of the stiffness on his left side. He even couldn't walk. And he was in a push pram, you know, in a stroller for so many years, for 7-8 years almost of his life. Although, you know, there was so much Michael was going through. And I, as a mother, I think I just struggled. I just struggled along with him. Because he was going through it as a baby. I'm sure he didn't even know what was happening to him. But here we were, watching him suffer, watching him struggle. And I was so agonized because I just wanted to know, who did this to my son? Why is my child suffering like this? When so many thousands and millions of children in the world are hale and hearty and healthy. Why my child? And ultimately, you know, I just want to know who's responsible for his condition. And believe me, brothers and sisters, the answers that you get when you are asking such questions from most people whom you know, and most of the books that you read, are not the right answers, because they're not in alignment with the scriptures. They're not in alignment with the kind of God whom Jesus revealed to us. And because of this, I was deep in my heart, I was in agony because I thought God did this to my child. Because that's what I was hearing. God is teaching you something. Therefore, your son is going through this. Your time in purgatory is going to be reduced. That's why your child is suffering like this. Oh, he may be like this on earth, but in heaven he'll be perfect. I didn't want to see him perfect in heaven. I wanted to see him perfect here on earth. I mean, these are all the wrong things that you constantly hear from people who are actually trying to console you. We're trying to get you to just accept your situation, embrace your cross. I didn't want my son to be my cross. He's the gift of God to me. How can he be my cross? Is that the cross? Is that the cross God wanted us to carry? I just couldn't understand it. I just couldn't understand it because, most of all, because it did not tie in, you know, perfectly with the Jesus whom I knew in the scriptures, who went about healing all the sick, who went about setting every captive free, who raised the dead, who cleansed the lepers. Because these were not the answers Jesus gave. Jesus did not tell the sick people of his time, oh, God is trying to teach you something, so you continue to be sick. Oh, you look too healthy, take some sickness. You'll be sick for some time so you learn your lessons. Jesus did not tell anyone, your time in purgatory is going to be reduced if you go through hell here on earth. That's not what Jesus revealed. That's not the God whom Jesus revealed. And that's why I think my struggle was even worse, because it totally contradicted what I believed. To hear people say, this is the will of God. Offer this up so that souls may be saved. What about my son? Who's going to save my son? When is he going to be healed? And this could be because of generational curses. This is, could be because of some ancestral sin. Believe me, brothers and sisters, we heard it all. And in the charismatic renewal, I think we hear even more. We should take him for prayer to famous preachers, priests who are actively involved in the charismatic renewal. And I was so hurt when one of those priests, you know, he looked at our son and he asked what's wrong with him. So we told him, and we, you know, so expectantly, eagerly, we brought our child to him, hoping he'd pray for him and our child will be healed. And here he's placing his hands on me and my husband, and he's saying, I'm going to pray for you, that you have strength to carry your cross. He didn't even lay his hands on my child. He didn't even pray for him. He had no faith for my son's healing. And he was so famous in the healing and deliverance ministry. When it came to birth defects, brothers and sisters, nobody had faith for it. When it comes to Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, hydrocephalus, maybe to, you know, autism, ADHD, and conditions like my son's, very, very few people have faith for it. And that is why we struggle so much more, because nobody believes that these children can actually be healed. That's why they console you talking about eternity. And this is not what I wanted to hear. This is not the God whom Jesus revealed. It was at this time that God saw the agony in my heart, and through my sister who got me this book, I read a book which transformed completely and totally my whole view on sickness and healing, because it was based on the word of God. It was based on what Jesus said, Jesus did. It was not based on the Old Testament revelation, which was incomplete, but the fullness of revelation, which was in the life and work of Christ Jesus. And this book brought life to me, brought hope to me. And as I was reading this book, I was amazed at how the truth set me free. And I realized who is responsible for all sickness, all disease, coronavirus, financial problems, sickness, disease of every kind, accidents, untimely deaths, storms, and every kind of evil. I realized who is responsible. It is the devil. It is the devil, because he hates God, but he cannot touch God. So he decided to attack those whom God loves. Whom God loves and who has, for whom he has given himself completely. That is you and me, brothers and sisters. And because we are ignorant of the ways of the enemy, ignorant of the word of God, ignorant of everything that will actually give us life, what happens? We look at our life and look at situations and circumstances and think, oh, this is the will of God. This is the work of God. This is God's doing. I just accept it. Completely confused about what sovereignty of God is. The sovereignty of God doesn't mean God is a great big puppeteer pulling the strings. Everything is happening according to his will. No. In heaven, everything is happening according to God's will, not on earth. Who is the prince of this world? Jesus called the devil the prince of this world. That is why there's so much chaos. That is why there's destruction. That is why there's coronavirus. That's why there's sickness, disease. Because the devil has his own army of human beings who are working for him. Just as God has his children who belong to him, so has the devil. And it is he who's responsible for all this evil that's happening in the world. Ultimately, the buck stops with the devil, because he was the original rebel who rebelled against God and causes everyone who rebels to turn away from God. But I discovered when I read this book that even though Satan is responsible for all this evil, we have a God who heals birth defects. God who heals every sickness, every disease. A God who sent his son to pay the full price and to set every captive free. Whose stripes have washed away our sickness. Whose blood has cleansed every sin. Whose death and resurrection have overcome every barrier, every hindrance. And we behold him now, the risen one, who holds the key to death and Hades, who alone sets every captive free, Jesus, our Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. And because of what Jesus did, God's healing can manifest in our lives. That's what I discovered when I read this book. In fact, that is the name of this book. This book is called God Heals Birth Defects. We will post the details about this book on the WhatsApp group that you are part of, so that all of you who are walking in similar, you know, confusion, you may get this book, you may read this book and come to know the truth that will set you free. So this is what happened to me, brothers and sisters. I read this book and I was delivered. Delivered from my faithlessness, from my unbelief, from my anxiety, from my fear of my son's health, his sickness. And although, you know, this happened, I read this book about 6 years ago. And although God's mercy was continually on our son, even though the devil meant all this for evil, God is turning it for our child's good and for his glory. Praise God. God healed our son of the reflux issue when he was about 4 years old, completely healed. Then when he was 5 and a half, he was miraculously healed again of the seizures. And that is another story which we can probably, you know, we will be sharing in our book, which we intend to write very soon. And Michael, against all odds, at the age of about 7 and a half, he just one day just held on to the wall and began to walk. God had already worked so many miracles, but I was not satisfied. I wanted to see the fullness of God's healing manifested in my child. I want to see him stand and testify, glorify God, fulfill his true calling. The will of the Lord, which the enemy tried to thwart, I want to see that will being accomplished in my child's life. And I know I will. And I know I will. Okay? So, all this. And as I was reading this book, faith came back to me, brothers and sisters. And the most amazing thing the Holy Spirit did was, as I was reading this book, it's a nice big solid book, at least 300, 400 pages. The first part of the book is just question and answers about sickness and healing. It answers every question that anyone could possibly have from the Word of God. And the second part is filled with testimonies of parents who have learned these truths, who are fighting for their children, for their healing and restoration. And this book restored hope to me. And as I was praying, as I was reading this book, I found myself praying in tongues, praying continuously in tongues. I've never prayed like that in tongues in my life. I used to read for hours. I used to read that book for hours, and I found that I was just praying in tongues for hours. And then I decided, I'm going to pray for Michael every night. for 1 hour before I go to sleep, I will pray for him for 1 hour in tongues for his healing, for his restoration. And I began to do it. And I did it faithfully for at least 2 or 3 months. But one night when I was praying like this for Michael, I just was so burdened. I just was so filled with a burden for every sick person, for every sick child, for every child like Michael whose parents were struggling, were in agony. That's all it is. When you have a child with special needs, that's how it is. Day in and day out is a struggle, brothers and sisters. And I was like, Lord, I don't want just my child to be healed. I want power. I want power to set every captive free. Not just birth defects, any sickness, every disease. I want that power that Jesus had to set every captive free. I began to cry out for power. And this was going on in my mind. And I was praying in tongues. I was praying continuously in tongues. And what happened? I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me saying, pray in tongues. So I immediately said, Lord, I am praying in tongues. But the Holy Spirit was silent. And then it dawned on me, oh, the Holy Spirit wants me to keep on praying in tongues. And that was the beginning of the most amazing journey of my life, which has continued now, 6 years in a row. I just prayed and prayed and prayed the whole night in tongues. Believe me, brothers and sisters, I never thought it was possible to pray for so many hours in tongues, but I did it. And I did it very easily. It just flowed, it flowed, it flowed like a river. And I did not feel sleepy at all. In fact, I was feeling so strong. I was feeling so refreshed. I woke up in the morning absolutely energized. And I told my husband, he said, you know, this is what happened last night. I prayed the whole night in tongues. And I'm just, you know, there's life flowing in me. There's something had changed that night. And ever since then, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit through the day, not nights, I don't pray at night, but I pray all the time during the day. I pray all the time. If I'm not talking to someone else, I'm usually praying in tongues. I usually sing in tongues. Initially, it was difficult. It was quite an effort. I used to feel a little dry in my throat and it was dry in my mouth. But very soon, it just vanished. Because I reminded myself, the Holy Spirit is the living waters. How can I experience dryness? In fact, when I pray in tongues, I cannot experience dryness. The dryness went. The physical dryness, I meant. And the Spirit of God would, you know, initially just remind me to pray in tongues. Whenever I stopped praying, until it became a habit, it's a part of me now. I just pray in tongues as if I'm breathing. I pray all the time in tongues. And it's possible. I pray at least 7 or 8 hours in tongues. Of course, in breaks, with breaks, whatever I'm doing. I may be cooking, cleaning, washing dishes. I may be seeing to things around the house. But I'm praying in tongues. And I'm praying continually in tongues. And it has been the most amazing experience of my life, brothers and sisters. Because after I started praying like this in tongues, I started walking in amazing intimacy with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit began to instruct me on how to pray. I began to take authority in the name of Jesus, command things in the name of Jesus, and see them submit to the name of Jesus. I never thought it was possible. I was like, how can sickness, how will disease listen to me? They do. In the name of Jesus, they do. Everything obeys. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And then I saw the Holy Spirit teaching me, instructing me how to pray for Michael. And not just for Michael, but for everyone. When this happens, brothers and sisters, Michael was about 13 years old, going through adolescence. puberty with all the changes that were happening inside of him. And it was a difficult time because he was very violent. He was very aggressive. He was so abusive. He would beat us, hit us, pinch us. I mean, I can't even tell you all the details of what we have been through. But today, as the Holy Spirit instructed us, we prayed. We did not give up. We did not give up. The Holy Spirit did not let us give up. Kept on teaching us how to pray for Michael, how to bring all that under control. And today, at the age of 19, for the past, not just today, for the past almost 2 years now, this child has become such an angel. His name is Michael, remember? Well, he's an absolute angel. He's an absolute angel. So joyful, so peaceful. And we know he's well on his way to complete healing and restoration in Jesus' name. And along with this, brothers and sisters, not just Michael's healing that is manifesting every moment, we're seeing amazing results when we pray for people. Just picking up our phone, just ministering to people on the phone has brought thousands to healing, to deliverance, to freedom. How powerful is the Holy Spirit, praise God, who works through us, who works through us. Anyone who's willing to be used by the Holy Spirit will use. That's all we need to do. Lord, make me usable and use me. Use me. And the Holy Spirit makes me so sensitive to his voice. Keeps on talking. Oh, do you know the Holy Spirit is very talkative? Keeps on talking to you if you're willing to listen. And it's amazing. It's amazing. That's our God. That's our God who's so interested in every detail of our lives. There are so many amazing testimonies of my own experience of how the Holy Spirit speaks, the Holy Spirit works. And there isn't enough time to share all the details, my brothers and sisters. Hopefully in our book that we are going to be bringing out soon, we will be sharing much more there. And the Holy Spirit is not just satisfied about you and me experiencing victory in our lives. He wants to make sure we stand in that authority and set every captive free. The life that we have flowing in us should work for everyone. Should work to free our children, anyone who's in bondage, everyone who's in bondage. Because he, the Holy Spirit, wants to make another Jesus out of you and me. As we yield to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit can work freely in our lives and through us. Therefore, we need to pray in tongues. Praying in tongues is like giving permission to the Holy Spirit to do what God wants for us, in us, through us, from us. That's why we need to pray continuously in tongues. That is the best way to yield to the Holy Spirit, because you know what you're yielding? When you pray in tongues, you're not just yielding your body or your tongue or your spirit to the Holy Spirit. You're yielding your understanding, your mind, your intellect, because you cannot understand what you're praying. You cannot understand what you're praying. You're praying mysteries. But that is the Holy Spirit praying through you. Our understanding can be a hindrance and prevent God from working in our lives. But when we pray in tongues, we are surrendering even our understanding to the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can work mightily, unhindered in our lives. That's why we want to encourage every one of you, get this gift. And if you have it, don't stop using it. Don't stop using it, okay? Because this Holy Spirit is within you, already in you by baptism. And all the gifts, all the charisms, all the fruit of the Spirit are already within you. What should you do? Just allow the Spirit to pray. Because when you pray in tongues, you are praying, the Holy Spirit is praying, and when the Holy Spirit prays, he will pray you into God's perfect purposes for your life, step by glorious step. He will keep on making God's will manifest in your life, manifest in you and through you. That's the will of the Holy Spirit. So what is the gift of tongues, brothers and sisters? The gift of tongues is basically a gift, a charism of the Holy Spirit. This gift is activated. It's already within us. So what should we do? We should stir it up. And how is it activated? By getting in touch with the Holy Spirit who's within us. Every retreat, we go through this final prayer called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is just a stirring up of the Holy Spirit who's within us. So when the Holy Spirit is stirred within us, by connecting with the Holy Spirit, what happens? All these gifts are released in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 4, St. Paul tells us, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So who's the source of all the gifts? Who's the source? The Spirit. The same Spirit. All the gifts, all the charisms, all the fruit from that same Spirit. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11 says, all these are inspired by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is giving one gift to each person. No, he apportions everything to everyone, but the gifts will be acting individually. Here's a person who needs healing. Then that healing gift will manifest from you. Here's a person who needs deliverance. That healing, that deliverance, the deliverance is also another manifestation of healing itself. But it is slightly different. That gift will be activated in you to set that person free. Every gift is within you because the giver is within you. So when you stir up the Holy Spirit in you by praying continuously in tongues, all these gifts will manifest through you because the Holy Spirit is within you. What are the gifts? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 8 to 10 lists the gifts for us. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits. These are all the charismatic gifts. These are called the charismatic gifts of the Spirit. To another, various kinds of tongues. That's what we're talking about today. And another gift called interpretation of tongues. Colin will explain all this tomorrow and the day after. I'm going to be speaking mainly on the gift of tongues. Okay? Yes. So it's a free gift given to all who believe. Do you believe, brothers and sisters? Do you believe the Holy Spirit is within you? Do you believe the Holy Spirit can manifest all these gifts through you? If you believe, you will see, you will experience. Because the Holy Spirit who comes to live in us, to sanctify us and empower us, comes with this gift, comes with all the gifts. But the gift of tongues is very, very important because it is the first gift that is usually given when a person experiences the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They received the Holy Spirit for the first time, and the Holy Spirit released this gift on the day of Pentecost. Why? Because it was the most important gift. Why not healing? Why not miracles? Because they were not ready for it yet. What were they ready for? They were just ready to yield to the Spirit so that the Spirit teaches them how to pray, to get a new way to connect with God. And the gift of tongues is a new and amazing and marvelous way to connect with God. It's a prayer language. It's a gift of prayer. So you want to honor the Holy Spirit, who is the giver of all these gifts. Use the gift. Use it more and more. And as you pray more and more in tongues, you will discover so much more. Not just about the Holy Spirit, you'll discover more about the gift. You, the Word of God will come alive to you. The Bible, the New Testament especially, will become so real, will become so meaningful. You can connect with the people You can connect with Paul and Peter because your life will be like theirs. Often we find people saying, oh, my life is like Job from the Old Testament. And we know why. We know why. We're not supposed to be connecting with Job from the Old Testament. Our life should resemble the life of Jesus. Or like Peter and Paul in the Acts of the Apostles. And most people will say, oh, my life is like Job. It's not supposed to be, brothers and sisters, remember. It's not supposed to be. So, the gift of tongues is a prayer language. Okay? It's a prayer language. What is it for? It is for communicating with God, like prayer is for communicating with God. It is for us to speak to God. We pray in tongues. God will speak to us in our own language. English, Hindi, Malayalam, Kannada, Tamil, French, German, whatever. He will reply to us in our language, which we can understand. But how do we speak to him? We should speak in tongues. Okay? It's for a new and an intimate relationship with God in a level, at a level which you have never experienced before, because it is from the Spirit. It is from the Spirit, from your Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's not to talk to each other. Even if two people have the gift of tongues, they cannot talk to each other in tongues. They will not understand. Okay? And it's not even talking to the devil. Many people think, oh, let's do intercession, let's do spiritual warfare. And they start shouting and screaming and praying in tongues, thinking they're talking to the devil. The devil can't even understand when you pray in tongues. The praying in tongues is a secret code language between the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son and your spirit. And your spirit. It is a secret language the devil cannot understand. That's why it is so powerful, because the devil cannot understand, the devil cannot block, the devil cannot hinder that prayer. And therefore, God's will is accomplished. Therefore, God's purpose is accomplished because the devil cannot stop it. Hallelujah. Then, it is a language of the kingdom. It is the mother tongue of heaven. So please, practice your mother tongue. We're going to spend eternity there. Let's learn to pray in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, it says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So who are you speaking to when you pray in tongues? See what the Word of God says. You are not speaking to people, you're speaking to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he utters mysteries. He speaks mysteries. God's will can be a mystery to us, brothers and sisters. But when you keep praying in tongues, you will start knowing the will of God for your life, because the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. So the mysteries the questions that you never had answers to, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. He will unravel mysteries which concern you, concern your children, concern your family, concern your work. Everything that concerns you, which you cannot understand, which you don't know how to solve, the problems that you are going through, the Holy Spirit will give you that wisdom as you pray in tongues. That's the purpose of this gift. It is to we pray those mysteries in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will download understanding into our minds. As you pray in the Spirit, your mind will receive the answers. You will understand the answers, don't worry. The Holy Spirit will give you solutions to your problems, which you have never, never imagined. He will give you that understanding on how to handle your life situations. Yes, this gift is completely under our control. We can pray when we want to. I pray all the time, but when I have to answer the phone, I stop praying and I answer the phone. We have to exercise. In fact, we have to exercise our free will. The Holy Spirit is not going to force us to pray. He will remind us. Yes, he will remind us to pray, but he's not going to compel us. We have to choose. We have to choose. Ideally, don't pray very loud in tongues, because you cannot pray for a long time. The volume should be controlled by us. Also, keep your emotions. I know many people who pray in tongues. They say, the minute I pray in tongues, I feel like crying. How will you cry? How much can you cry? Won't it get tiring for you? I pray 7-8 hours in tongues. Imagine if I was crying and praying in tongues. It would have been very difficult, I'm sure. I wouldn't have been able to do any other work if I was crying and praying in tongues. Keep your emotions under check. They should be under your control. Keep your physical movements under control. Some people have seen that they'll be shaking their hands and praying in tongues. The moment they start praying in tongues, their hands will begin to tremble. Why? Why? Maybe it happened the first time they prayed in tongues. And so they think, every time I pray in tongues, my hands should shake. You can stop it. If you can't stop it, then there's something wrong. So please stop that, because you and I are called to pray in tongues all the time. We have to be driving our car and praying in tongues. We can't be having our hands shaking. You won't be able to drive straight. You have to cook and pray in tongues. That's possible. Maybe you're working on the computer and praying in tongues, playing your piano and praying in tongues. It's possible. It should be. Please keep all these other things under control. They're not important. Praying through the Spirit is important. Okay? There are different names for the gift of tongues that you will come across even in the scriptures. It's called tongues. It's also called other tongues. It's called a heavenly language or a pure language. It is unadulterated. It's pure because the Holy Spirit is praying. It's also called a unique supernatural language. Every person's gift of tongues is different from the other person's. And its meaning is also different. Sometimes you may think, oh, it sounds similar. But it means different things because it's the Holy Spirit who's praying. It's called praying in the Spirit. It's called the language of the angels. It's called pure speech. That's the gift of tongues. Okay? All these are different names for the gift. But it's the same gift inspired by the same Holy Spirit. Okay? So who spoke about the gift of tongues in the Old Testament? Very little is known about the gift of tongues because the Holy Spirit had not been given. Only prophets, priests, and kings would receive the Holy Spirit. And more, it was more like an external anointing on them. Not an internal indwelling like we have. Okay? So, in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 and 12, Isaiah is prophesying about a time when people will receive the gift of tongues. He says, no, but with men of stammering lips, which refers to the gift of tongues, and with an alien tongue, the Lord will speak to this people. This happened from the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost itself, you can see they were speaking in languages which they did not know. An alien language, alien tongue. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 9. Yes, at that time, I will change the speech of the peoples to a pure speech. Gift of tongues is called pure speech. That all may call in the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. This is what happened, brothers and sisters, on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people called in the name of the Lord and were saved. And they began to serve him with one accord. The Holy Spirit brought unity. And 3,000 people were added to the 120 who were in the upper room. Why? Why did this happen? Because they were all praying in tongues. Nobody knew what was happening in the upper room. There was wind, there was the fire which only they could see. But when they came out, they were praying in tongues. They were speaking in tongues. And everybody was amazed. What is a strange language? And that is what attracted so many, brought them down to their knees. Peter preached his first powerful sermon and converted 3,000 people that day on the day of Pentecost because of this gift, this powerful gift of the Spirit, which is meant for all. This gift is for all. All the 120 were praying in tongues. Okay. In the Gospel of St. John, in the New Testament, Jesus started to speak about it, although it could only be manifested after Jesus ascended into heaven and when the Holy Spirit came. But Jesus began to talk about it in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 to the Samaritan woman. Jesus is saying, the hour is coming and now is And true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So when you pray in tongues, you are worshipping the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such worship, such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. This is the kind of worship the Father wants, brothers and sisters. Worship that is through the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that is led by the Spirit, and in truth. In truth is in truth of who we are in Christ Jesus. Standing on the truth of God's word, that's the kind of worship the Holy Spirit will inspire in us. Because God is spirit. And do you know, you and I too are spirit beings. We too are deep inside us. We are made in the image and likeness of God as spirit beings. This is who we are. This is who we are. We too are spirit, soul, and body. The yellow golden part is our spirit. The blue black part is the mind or the soul, and the muscles and the sinews, that is what our body is comprised of. This is just a diagrammatic representation of who we are. And in our spirit dwells the Holy Spirit. Here, the Holy Spirit is shown in the form of a dove. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. Okay, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is whatever you want God to be for you. The Holy Spirit is our all in all. All in all is the Holy Spirit. Okay? And this Spirit dwells in us. Okay? It's shown that the Spirit dwells within our spirit, but the Spirit dwells in all of us. That's why St. Paul says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit fills every part of us as we allow, as we invite the Holy Spirit to fill. The Holy Spirit will fill every part of us, our spirit, our mind, and our body. Okay? So this is kind of, you know, an image of who we are. So when we worship God, we are called to worship from the Spirit, through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Okay? So in the New Testament, again, Jesus was talking about, you know, just before ascending into heaven, he said in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, these signs will accompany those who believe. What are the signs? In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They lay hands on the sick, they will recover. This is what started happening as soon as they received the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, this has to be a sign that you are true believers. Every person who believes in Jesus should be able to do these things because we have the Holy Spirit in us. How many of these things can you say, yes, yes, I can do this. I can cast out demons. I can speak in new tongues. I can pick up serpents. I can drink any deadly thing. I can breathe coronavirus and it cannot touch me. I can lay hands on the sick. I can pray over people on the phone and they recover. How many of these things can you do, brothers and sisters? Can you do all of them? Blessed are you, because that's how you're supposed to be. That's a sign that you are a believer. That's a sign that you're a believer. And if you cannot start praying in tongues, all these things will happen in you. Daily, I'm telling you, daily, we do all these things. We do all these things. Not picking up physical serpents, but, you know, discerning the presence of evil, casting out spirits. That also is a meaning of picking up serpents. And we know and we walk in this awareness that nothing can touch us because the life of God is flowing out of us. I believe that no virus can enter my body because rivers of life are flowing out of me. That is the awareness I have. That is the faith I walk in. Nothing from outside can enter me. That's the faith that the early Christians had, and they were praying in tongues, remember? That's the kind of faith you and I will have. And this gift, from the Acts of the Apostles, brothers and sisters, Acts chapter 2, every now and then you will hear about the gift of tongues. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they glorified God. So what is the gift of tongues doing? When you pray in tongues, you are glorifying God. So do it. Do it more. All who are filled with the Spirit began to pray in tongues. This gift is for all. Acts chapter 4, 31. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we know? How do we know? We know because they spoke in tongues. That's what the scriptures imply. It is implied. Whenever this, in the Acts of the Apostles, you read this word, these words, all were filled with the Holy Spirit, you will see they knew they were filled with the Spirit because, not because tongues of fire came on their head, but because they began to pray in tongues. That was evidence that they received the Holy Spirit. What is the evidence that you have the Holy Spirit in you? Can you do all these things? Can you do all these things? Prove it, brothers and sisters, that you do have the Holy Spirit, because your life is just like Jesus. Because that's the same Holy Spirit whom Jesus had, whom Peter and the apostles had, whom Mother Mary had. Why does that Holy Spirit who's within us look so different from the Holy Spirit they had? That Holy Spirit they had was so powerful. What about the Holy Spirit we have? Powerless? Because of us. Because of us. We don't do what the Word of God says. That's why the Holy Spirit's power is not manifested in us and through us. You start praying in tongues and see how the Holy Spirit will work through you. Okay. So, St. Paul spoke extensively about the gift of tongues. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, he says, the Spirit comes to help us in our weakness. And our greatest weakness is we do not know how to pray. So the first thing the Holy Spirit did on the day of Pentecost was he gave them a new way of praying. And what is this way of praying? This way of praying is beyond words. It's beyond any human language. And it is the perfect prayer, because it is according to the will of God. And he who can see, the second part, the second verse, and he who can see into all hearts knows what the Spirit means, because the prayers that the Spirit makes for God's holy people are always in accordance with the mind of God, accordance with the will of God. That is the gift of tongues. When you're praying according to the will of God, that's the perfect prayer the Holy Spirit prays for us. And St. Paul was amazing because he wrote the maximum about the gift of tongues. And he knew the Holy Spirit so intimately. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament because of the intimacy with the Holy Spirit that he walked with. And he prayed so much in tongues. He prayed so much in tongues. And wherever he went, everywhere, he challenged the believers in the various churches, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray more in tongues. Yeah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and 14, we've already been through these, you know, very briefly. Tomorrow and the day after, Colin will go through these in much detail, okay? I'm just skipping all this. There's 1 Corinthians 12, 10, which says to another, speaking in different tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, for everyone who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, okay? What are we doing when we pray in tongues? We are speaking to God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, what is happening to us when we pray in tongues? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. We are strengthening ourselves spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, physically. You know, when you pray in tongues, your immunity increases, brothers and sisters. And you will not catch a cold. You will not catch viruses so easily. You won't catch any sickness, no disease. Any sickness is in your body that will get healed. We have amazing testimonies of people who have just been healed by praying in tongues, of diabetes, of constipation, of all kinds of weird conditions and normal conditions. People are just getting healed just by praying in tongues. Amazing testimonies. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 18. St. Paul is saying, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. He was not boasting. He's just encouraging people. Pray more in tongues. What about Jesus? Did Jesus speak in tongues? I believe he did. Jesus will never tell us to do something he never did. That's not Jesus. So surely he prayed in tongues because he was filled with the Spirit all the time. And therefore, Jesus surely prayed in tongues. Mark 16, verse 17 says, this will accompany all who believe. Jesus believed. And therefore, he prayed in tongues. He did everything. And he showed us how we're called to live. Ephesians 6, 18, our key scripture. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. You can pray in tongues with all kinds of prayers. Thanksgiving, adoration, worship, petition, supplication, all kinds of prayers, you can pray in tongues. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. Possible only when you pray in tongues. Romans 12, verse 12, be constant in prayer. That too is possible only when you pray in tongues. St. Jude wrote only one chapter, short epistle. In that, he wrote about the importance of tongues. He says, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. So what is happening when you are praying in tongues? You're building yourself up in faith as you pray in the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important to pray in tongues. Your faith will become so strong. And every mountain that dares to come in front of you, you will command it and it will move. Hallelujah. Okay. The Catechism of the Catholic Church encourages praying in tongues. Where? In paragraph 2003, Life in Christ. Excuse me. There are furthermore special graces, also called charisms, after the Greek term used by St. Paul and meaning favor, gratuitous gift, and benefits. Okay? So, the Catechism of the Catholic Church is talking about the charisms, which are mentioned in 1 Corinthians. Okay? And it says, whatever their character, sometimes it is extraordinary, such as the gift of miracles or of tongues. The gift of miracles and tongues is considered extraordinary. It was ordinary during the time of the apostles and the early Christians. For us, it's become extraordinary because very few people are praying in tongues. But what does it say? But charisms, what is the purpose of charisms? They are oriented towards sanctifying grace. They are oriented, they are meant for sanctification, to release the grace of God in us, and are intended for the common good. They're not just for each individual, but they're meant for the whole church, for the body of Christ. And they are at the service of charity, which build up the church. What are they meant for? They are meant to build up the whole body of Christ, to build up the church. That's why it's so important we pray in tongues. So who must speak in tongues, brothers and sisters? I've already said this in so many ways. All must speak in tongues. This is a gift for all. Acts chapter 2 verse 4 says, all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 5, St. Paul is telling the church in Corinth, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. He wants everybody to pray in tongues because it's so amazing. It's so powerful. It takes you to a new level in your relationship with God, brothers and sisters, like you've never walked before. What about Mother Mary? Did Mary pray in tongues? Acts chapter 1 verse 14 says they were all gathered in the upper room along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Peter and all the apostles. All were gathered in the upper room. Acts chapter 1 verses 14 and 15. 120 were there along with Mary, and all prayed in tongues when the Holy Spirit came upon them. This gift is considered a gateway gift. What does it mean? It opens the gateways to the life of the Spirit. All other gifts will start manifesting in you. All the fruit of the Spirit will start manifesting in you. As soon as I started praying in tongues, I have been filled with peace, brothers and sisters, a kind of peace that I've never experienced before. Because I started walking in intimacy with the God of peace. And the peace of God continually rules and reigns in my heart. My nature has been changed. I've become so patient, so much more kind, so much more understanding, so much more loving. Isn't that what Jesus wants from us? Pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit will make us more and more like Jesus. Not just power, but also holiness. And the presence of God will manifest through you. This gift is for all. Jesus said, true worshippers will worship. Are you a true worshiper? Are you worshiping in spirit and in truth? The Father is looking for this. Come on, make the Father happy. Give joy to the Father's heart as you pray in tongues. We must worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus is saying it's not optional. It's not for those who want to pray in tongues. It is for everyone. So pray. Surely Jesus spoke in tongues, and we have to be like him. Believers will pray in tongues. That's the reality. Yes, we want to walk in it. Mark 16, verse 17. So when must we speak in tongues? Now we know, all the time. The more the better. Keep on praying in tongues. Pray without ceasing. St. Paul said, I thank God that I pray in tongues more than all of you. I wish I could also say that. I wish I could say that. I want to say that one day. I will. I know. Because the more the better. The more you pray in tongues, the more you will walk in intimacy with God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So get a new prayer partner called the Holy Spirit, who will pray perfect prayers for you when you pray in tongues. He'll always keep you in God's will and plan as you pray in tongues, in complete faith, in faith, standing on the word, standing on truth, teaching us to walk in authority, builds us up in the process. Always ahead of the devil. Remember, the devil cannot understand when you pray in tongues. Therefore, the Holy Spirit will pray in tongues for you and keep you ahead of the devil. And all your prayers will always be answered because they will be the perfect prayers according to the will of God. So in conclusion, brothers and sisters, the gift of tongues was an essential sign in a Christian's life in the early church. Paul used this gift extensively and encouraged everyone to do it. We want to do the same for you. So if you want to live a life in the Spirit, like the early Christians, we too should pray continually in tongues. That is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So Father, we want to thank you for this time. Thank you for this amazing gift of the Spirit. And we ask, Spirit of God, that you release this beautiful gift in us. Release this powerful gift in us, that we may pray continually with you and connect with God intimately and glorify him at all times. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.